Welcome to Game On with Grace, where we're not just talking cricket wins and losses, we're talking off-field antics, guilty pleasures, and the drive that never quits. Hey everyone, I'm Grace Hayden, and today's conversation is all about growth, grit, and representing a nation on the rise. Our guest has become one of the defining faces of Canadian cricket, an all-rounder who's developed entirely through the Canadian system, from under 15 and under 17 to an under 19 World Cup to leading Canada at the highest stage. Now a key figure heading into the 2026 ICC Men's T20 World Cup. It's time to talk to Harsh Thakkar. Game on. Hey Harsh, welcome to Game On with Grace. So stoked to have you on, mate. Whereabouts are you in the world right now?
Well, I'm in Toronto, Ontario. Cold Toronto, Ontario.
Really? It's that Christmas season though.
Yeah, we're expecting a white Christmas this year. It's been a cold December till now. And they're saying the weather will continue to be cold throughout December and Jan. So.
Oh, really? Does that get in the way of your cricket?
I mean, in December, we usually practice indoors. So it doesn't really get in your way. But yes, sometimes if it's snowing a lot, it's hard to get to practice because obviously the roads are covered with snow and all that. But we're kind of used to this weather.
Absolutely. It's probably nice to have a white Christmas, to be honest. I mean, in Oz, it's boiling hot. So we have the complete opposite to you guys. And the idea of, you know, Christmas being a white Christmas is pretty special, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of used to it here. But yeah, you get how it'd be. It'd be nice. I actually like snow as well.
Before we get into the nitty-gritty of things, we like to start with some icebreakers. They're called our Game On icebreakers. Just a quick short fire questions, just to start the episode with a bit of fun.
Okay.
So tell me, what is something that you're completely competitive about, but it's off the field?
I'm competitive in every sport. Like whenever I play with my friends, even I really am competitive in badminton. I really like playing badminton.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't like losing in badminton with my friends. So that's like a heated battle. Every time we go to the badminton court and play, that would be heated.
Have you got a situation where it's completely removed from sport altogether? It's something that's an everyday thing that's niche that you're competitive about?
Playing cards. I pride myself on winning whenever I play cards, yeah.
What's your go-to card game?
Poker, we play a lot.
Okay, yeah. So you got a good poker face.
Bluff. Bluff is fun.
Yeah, nice. So, yeah. So good. Okay, have you ever gone too far trying to win something?
No. I stay in the rules of the game. I don't cheat, basically.
Well, that's good. That's probably a nice quality to have. Don't give too much banter. Ever accidentally sledge someone?
I always give banter. Banter's always fun.
Yeah, good.
You cannot play games without banter. Otherwise, it's no fun.
Yeah. A few mind games here and there is kind of nice.
Yeah.
What's one moment in your cricket career that best sums up your competitive drive?
Well, this was, we were playing a game against USA and this was for ODI status. If we won the game, it kind of secured us ODI status and we were 90 for 6 or something going in the game when I went into bat and, you know, we were able to put up a competitive score of 197. It's a decent, like a below par score, but we were able to put up something and I played a decent innings there. And then obviously with the ball, I opened the bowling and I got a few couple early wickets. I feel like we really fought there and I felt like I really fought there as myself too. And that was a game, that'll be a game that I'll remember forever. Because it was a big game we needed to win to get ODI status. So huge game.
And you pulled through for your side.
Yeah, it was cool.
Growing up, who was the most competitive in your family?
My mom. My mom is very
competitive.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, the amount of people I've interviewed, no one has ever said their mom before. Tell me more.
So if you go to play arcade, if you go to Playdiums or anything, Even when I go, when there's a family event and every like a lot of people are there, like family friends and family relatives are there. My mom's always trying to win, and it's not like just trying to win. She is trying to win, like, and if she loses, she does not like it at all. Even at home, like whenever we play anything, let's say we play darts, she's still like, "Oh, I beat you, I beat you," and she will not take a loss.
Oh my God,
She's
she
very
sounds
competitive.
like me. That's so good. I love that from her, though. Honestly, never heard anyone say their mum before, but that's cool. She sounds like a cool mum.
Yeah, she's very cool.
Is there a family member or friend that you hate losing to the most?
So I have a teammate, he's a friend. I like even when we play in practice, I do not like getting hit by him, and he does not like getting out by me. So every time we play anything, it would always be banter. And anytime I get him out, I'll remind him for a very long time. He's not hit me for a six yet, so he can't do that. But anytime I play against him, it's always banter. It's Shreyas Mova. I love
Yep.
having a banter with him.
Ah,
Really cool.
awesome. So good. Now it's time for a quick break. We'll be back with Human Behind the Hype up next. Okay, we're going to move into Human Behind the Hype. It's sort of where we get to know you a little bit more away from the stats, but you as the person. So, first question is, you obviously moved to Canada at age 7, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
And, you know, you started in the local academy. But what do you really remember most about the move and the adjustment?
So I remember it was when we first came to Canada. We didn't know my dad and I didn't know there was cricket here. I was really young. I was just trying to play some cricket. I always had a passion for cricket. My dad always wanted me to play cricket. But we didn't know there were academies in Canada. We didn't know there was cricket in Canada. Because a lot of the grounds that time were hidden in inside like parks, so you couldn't see it when you're just walking down the road or you're driving past the road. You don't see cricket grounds. For like 5 6 months, we didn't find anything, and then it ended up being that one of the people that we used to live in an apartment, and then one of the people that lived on my floor, like Karan Patel, he used to go to cricket practice, and that's how my dad found that practice. Like that's how my dad found that academy, and then I joined the academy, and it was Coach Sheriff at Castro Sports, and that's been my academy ever since then. So that's how I got into cricket when I moved into Canada. The switch, because I was so young, it didn't take me long to adjust because I was 7 years old. So I don't it yes initially it's a bit tough, but because you're young, and there's a lot of young people around my area as well, it was hard, easy for me to find new friends and just, get along with the new environment.
Were you ever tempted by other sports when you moved to Canada, or was cricket your one and only focus?
No, cricket was the only focus always. I got interested in other sports, but not to necessarily have like a career or play professionally. It was just as like as a hobby. I love playing basketball. I love watching baseball. But it was never a doubt that cricket will be the sport, though.
When did you realize that you wanted to be a professional cricketer? Was it from the get-go when you were young, or did you sort of grow into the opportunity?
When you're young, you're honestly just thinking of playing the Under-19 World Cup. That's the first thing that comes into everyone's mind. Like, especially in Canada, everybody just focused on the Under-19 World Cup. You want to make that team, you want to qualify for the World Cup, and you want to play that. So when I was about 7, we had an Under-15 tour that time too. So Canada Under-15s used to go and play USA and Bermuda. So it was just like, let's make the Under-15 team. Then you make that, you move on to Under-17, then the Under-19. So initially it was that. When I was 11 or 12, my dad knew that I'll play for Canada. Though somehow, I don't know what it was. Like, he always told me that, I have no doubt that you're going to be playing for Canada, like the national senior team. For me, it was just, I didn't really think that far. I always wanted to play cricket. Like, but I was a kid. All I wanted to do was just play cricket. I didn't think too much about where I wanted to get, just wanted to play. As I got older, when I became 15, 16, Ashish Bagai, there's ex-Canadian. He got the ICC Associate Player of the Year award, and that really like inspired me to say, you know what, one day I want to get that award. And that's like, since that day, I was like, I want to play for Canada. And at that time, playing for Canada did not necessarily mean that you can quit your job, because there's not much financially. But so it was just about trying to play for Canada and all that.
Amazing. Now, you mentioned your dad. You obviously have a really special relationship, to the point where, you know, he was your first cricket coach, and then he's believed in you and, you know, wanted you to succeed and always given you that drive, it sounds like, to reach where you are now. How important has that relationship been into where you are now?
It's massive. I mean, my dad, he's been on my cricket. Sometimes he's more emotionally connected to it than I am. Like every game, after every game I play for Canada or anywhere, that he'll discuss the game with me. He'll discuss the shots I should have played, or when I got out, why did I get out? Even no matter how many runs I've made, there's always a discussion on, oh, you could do better. I got, like, as you said, my first coach was basically my dad, because in India, we used to wake up early, and we had a front yard, which was kind of long, so you could actually, he used to run up and bowl to me, and I was about 5-6 years old. So for me, it was really quick. But he never slowed the pace down. Even when I got hit, he just kept bowling, and that kind of helped me overcome the fear of getting hit by the cricket ball. Because
yeah,
I think that you need to get early, because sometimes there's a fear of getting hit by the ball when you're young. So because of those moments, like, I just, that fear went away.
Oh, amazing. Such a special relationship. Has he gone to every game, or does he always tune into it on air, or like, what's, and then does he send you text message notes on this one could have been a bit better of a shot?
For sure. I mean, most of the games, anytime I'm playing at home, anytime we're playing Toronto, he always comes to watch. Like, my whole family comes. If you're nearby the area, if you're in the US, they always come by. Like, we're in Miami just last this year, and my whole family came there to watch. But as you said, like, he's always tuning in the stream if you're far away. And you said, like, messages, like, he's a little old, so he doesn't really message, but he always calls after the game. And it's just discussion on, he would know exactly which balls to talk about and which balls did I miss. What was I thinking when I made a mistake or something?
Oh, wow. And do you go, Dad, I didn't even think about that. How are you picking up on all of this stuff?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, to be honest, it gets a little bit overwhelming. Sometimes, especially when I'm not doing well, I know that I will have to go home and he'll call me, and then I have to talk about cricket again.
Do you just leave it sometimes? Go, okay, I can't deal with this right now.
Exactly.
I'm away. My phone is on airplane mode.
No, seriously, that does happen sometimes. I just tell him, like, let's leave it today. I don't want to talk about it when I'm not really feeling well. And he understands that as well.
Yeah.
He understands that when you're not doing well, you know, sometimes you just have to give the guy some space.
For sure. Now, you debuted in 2018, and you would have seen, you know, the way, you know, cricket is in Canada change a lot in this time. What has been the biggest changes that you've really witnessed over that time?
I mean, we had a franchise league come into Canada. We had GT20, which was massive for cricket. One of the biggest things that's happened in Canadian cricket. Then we had, obviously, we got ODI status. Huge, huge. I think that's probably the biggest thing that's happened in Canadian cricket in the past, whatever, 10 years or so. That was massive. We have another franchise league now, which is Super 60. We made the past two World Cups in T20s. Like, we've qualified for the World Cups. So that's been huge. It's been huge in trying to get local media, like big mainstream media in Canada, to start keeping track of cricket. So those are a few things that really helped cricket.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was in the last GT20 as part of the broadcast, and then I was just there recently for that Canada Super 60 tournament. And it was really exciting to see the growth in numbers, people on foot, not just in broadcast eyeballs, but people that were actually showing up and watching the games. I mean, there were four games a day. It was obviously T10 format, so a little bit shorter and faster, but even to play in that stadium itself, incredible arena. To like have the opportunity to have tournaments like this now, you know, there's two, I think I've heard that GT20 might be even coming back next year as well. So to not just have, you know, tournaments in Toronto, but in Vancouver, it just seems like it's really starting to take off in the last 2 years that I've, you know, witnessed. But I mean, for you personally, like you've lived there since you were seven. So it's like the growth of cricket in Canada is just exciting. And then obviously the Olympics are coming up, the World Cup's coming up as well. There's just so much opportunity. You must be so excited.
Yeah, I'm so excited. As you mentioned, like that, we played Super 60 at BC Place. BC Place is where the Olympics opening ceremony happened. It's a fantastic, like, venue. Just
right
playing in that
the
stadium.
Heart of Vancouver as well. It's not super far out in the sticks. It's like right in and amongst it. And there's some amazing sporting events that happen there. So to have a tournament being played there is sensational. And to mix it with both entertainment and cricket, like it's exciting how, you know, people are now thinking bigger than just the game too, to try and get more eyes. Because obviously, you know, in the US and in Canada, like it's not a kind of sport where it's in schools like hockey or, you know, football and all the rest of it. It's not like really the main sport. So to think out of the box too of going, okay, how do we attract new fans to come in and enjoy the game?
Exactly. Like the concerts and stuff was a brilliant idea. I think to get that in the cricket game, I think just developing new fans, you know, next year I've heard they have even bigger plans. So it's really cool. I think cricket in Canada is heading the right way. And obviously there's a lot more to do, a lot more we can do, but it's definitely heading the right way.
Where do you see it going in another 5 years' time?
As a country growing, I would say try to make a 50-overs World Cup. I think that would be massive. The ODI World Cup. We want to be a dominant force in at least associate cricket and ODI cricket. We have the abilities. We have the talent. We just need to play more ODI cricket for us to get more experience. And as franchise leagues and stuff, I mean, if you get two franchise leagues in a year, as you said, GT20 might be coming back. So two franchise leagues in a year, I think that's pretty awesome. And with ODI status, you're guaranteed about 36 ODIs in 3 years. And then with the World Cup qualifiers and ODI T20 cricket, the way it's going, we also play a lot more bilateral series. So it's definitely growing. We have an event in the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays every year, Toronto Blue Jays throw an event called Cricket Day at the Park. And the whole like Rogers Stadium is packed with cricket equipment, and they call some Canadian players. And I'm a big Blue Jays fan, so I always try to go to that event. And it's just really cool to see Blue Jays, the fan base that the Blue Jays have, and them to incorporate cricket in that. It's really cool.
Absolutely. Now I have to talk about the World Cup. Starts February 7. You must be really ramping up the training and getting hyped, maybe a little bit nervous that it's literally just around the corner.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's excited for the World Cup. We're basically put in the group of death, they say. So training's really good. Training's going really well. And guys are excited. It's the World Cup in India, so you know there's going to be a lot of eyeballs and
absolutely
a lot of fan following and all that. So also, like, it's where I was born. So just to go back to India, and the first game basically in Ahmedabad. So that was where I was born. Like, that was my birth city.
Yeah, so it's probably a full circle moment for you.
100%. When they're making that ground in 2019, I actually visited India, and I was telling someone, like, I told my parents or my friends that, you know, one day I want to play at the stadium. And
wow.
Now it's coming
to fruition.
Yeah, it's so cool.
Do you reckon you'll get a little bit emotional?
I think the intensity of the game will take over emotions because it's a World Cup. You're playing South Africa. I'm going to be thinking about, you know, trying to put our best performance together individually and as a team. So I think you kind of, when you get in the moment, I think you kind of forget the emotions. I think emotions might hit you after the game. It's when you realize like it's done, and once the game is done, I think you may get a little emotional.
As a side, how do you really mentally, physically prepare for a World Cup? I mean, it's one of the biggest events of the year as a, you know, T20 cricketer, but what is it that you do to prepare?
So unfortunately, like when we in Toronto after November in Canada, in Toronto, you basically look at indoor practices. But so what we try to mostly do is game scenarios, and we try to focus mentally a lot. We are going to Sri Lanka in about 3 weeks, we're gonna be traveling to Sri Lanka, and that's gonna be probably like a month before the World Cup. So we're gonna be training in Sri Lanka, and I think our coaches are trying to get like sports mental coaches. They work on are the mental side of the game, which I think is very important going into a big tournament like the World Cup, because there's obviously a lot of pressure, there's obviously a lot of eyeballs, but you need to overcome that and still realize that at the end of the day, it's just another game. And you're trying to give it your best.
2024, you had properly a high and then a big low. You hit your maiden ODI century, 111 not out against the UAE, and then you had a foot fracture. Talk me through how you went mentally when that first happened and how you kind of had to build back into where you are now.
So yeah, the start of the year is fantastic. I scored back-to-back 100s for Canada. It was just a dream world. You know, you come back to Canada from UAE and everything's going well. The World Cup preparations are on now, and you know, we're preparing for the World Cup. We had a series in USA that went well. And we're just indoors and we're running, we're doing shuttles, and I rolled my ankle. And everyone, initially it was just normal, you know, you sprained your ankle, the World Cup was still about 4 weeks away, so you're thinking that you're going to be back. A sprained ankle does not take more than 2 weeks to heal. And where it's a couple days ago, I get my x-rays done, the physio just said, just get a check. The doctor calls me after since the injury happened, he called me in 3 days after the injury, and he said, your foot's broken. And when he said that, I thought, okay, foot's broken, cool, 4 weeks to go, I should be okay. And he said at that time, he's like, you cannot play the World Cup with like a broken foot 4 weeks before the World Cup. It's usually it takes about 6 weeks to heal, and then you can actually just start playing.
Yeah.
My family had everything booked. All the tickets were booked. They were like USA and all that. And obviously you missed the World Cup. It was heartbreaking. It was very heartbreaking in the moment. The first couple weeks, 3-4 weeks, like very tough for everybody in the family. Like, and nobody really talked about cricket that time because it was just heartbreaking. And
too hard to tell.
After that, it came to a point where, you know, you just try to, you think that God did it for a reason, and you just try to move on. And, you know, I actually joined my family for the Miami game then. I went with them to Miami, and we like the India was playing Canada there. So we went there, and my mom saw like everybody on the field, and I was in the stands. She started crying in the moment. So that was like, I was like, it's fine. Not the end of the world. So that was a bit tough, but once it goes, I think after like 2 months, we had GT20 next actually, and that's what I was preparing for. So I was just trying to think, okay, I want to come back in GT20 and do well, and then obviously I was going to be back in the national side. We went to Netherlands, and then since then it's something that you take in stride. It's something that you never forget, but you just learn from it.
Absolutely. So you've got unfinished business in the World Cup department.
Definitely, definitely. I'm really excited to play this one.
Absolutely. Now, there's so much travel involved with cricket because it's just a global sport. Have you had a favourite destination that cricket's taken you to?
My first tour was in Trinidad, and this is an amazing, amazing city.
It's so much fun.
The party vibes, the atmosphere at the stadium. Oh. It is so much fun. Wonderful, wonderful city. I think Malaysia is actually a very fun place to visit. A lot to do there. You're never bored in Malaysia because there's always something to do. Lots of food options there.
Mm-hmm.
So those two places I would say are up there.
Yeah, for sure. How do you wind down as a cricketer? Like, what are the things that you do for you when you're on tour or maybe post a game? Because everyone knows that you're hyped up, you're full of energy after a game. But then also, you know, you have days off as well in between games. So is there anything that you do while you are on tour or, you know, you're in tournament to have time for you?
I actually go to watch a lot of movies on tour. Like in theaters.
Like in the theater. Theaters,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So everywhere we go, I'll find the closest theater around. And usually I'll at least go to one movie on every tour I go to. I love watching movies. So, and it's like a nice relaxation after a game. You know, you're not just going to sit and you take a couple of your teammates with you, have some popcorn, you know, and it's just a nice place to relax and chill out. So that's usually, it's always me planning the movie trips on tour. So everybody knows if they want to go watch a movie, you come to
You're the
watch.
guy.
Yeah.
I love it. Now, when you're playing in this World Cup, what do you really want the Canadian fan watching you walk out in the Canada jersey to be really understand and think about your journey and how you got to that point? Is there
Like
anything
as
that
a
you
team
want?
or me
No,
individually?
as you individually.
Okay. So, I mean, what we want to put up is I want to personally just put up a good performance. I wanted to show that, you know, Canadian cricket has a lot of talent and that we belong playing at that level. And it's just about showing that, you know, we're not, a lot of times, like, I do feel like we're underrated a little bit sometimes because people don't realize, like, cricket in Canada actually has a lot of talent. And in GT20 and tournaments like the Super 60, whenever the overseas players do come, they always tell us, like, we didn't know that Canadian cricket had so much talent. So we're just trying to put that out in the world now. And the world, like, if we can just put up a good foot forward, me as individual and as a team, we just want to show that, you know, we have the fight and we're ready to, when it comes to cricket, on the day, anything can happen. And just that we're going to battle, regardless of winning or losing. We're gonna battle out there.
All right, it's time for a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back in just a sec for our sports roundtable. Welcome back, everyone. It's time for Sports Roundtable, where we dig deeper into the world of sports. You've said that ODIs are your favorite format in cricket. What is it about ODIs that's so special to you?
I just love the fact that there's so many ups and downs. Like, it's a longer format, so sometimes you need to build a partnership. There's a phase in the middle where it's sometimes termed as boring, but even when I watch cricket, I don't find it boring because I feel like that's the middle overs is sometimes where the game is won or lost. So I feel like there's a lot in the game where there's a new ball, there's middle overs, then there's a death overs, and then you can always come back in a game. It does happen in T20s as well, but it's obviously more fast-paced, and the middle overs are just like 6 overs or 4 overs. And even that, the way the game's going now, it's like there's no middle overs now. It's just beat it till the end.
Literally, it actually is. Now, I know we spoke about this a little bit earlier about, cricket in Canada, but what do you think Canadian cricket really needs to do to become more mainstream?
I think we need local, like, mainstream media. That's the biggest thing. That's how you can grow cricket. We need local talent to come and play cricket. We need Canadian born and brought up kids to take up the sport. Right now, I think half the team is probably Canadian brought up players, and then half are immigrants that came to Canada at an older age and then they start playing for the national team. We need more Canadian talent coming and playing, and I see that happening. Now we just need to push cricket into mainstream media where we can get recognition with what the Blue Jays are doing. I think that's a big thing. I think cricket will get more recognized. We recently went to Parliament, and like the Prime Minister and the Parliament, they all gave us a standing ovation and wished us well for the World Cup. So that's obviously massive for cricket. Mark Carney was like, he actually knew a lot about cricket, which was very surprising. So it's just cool to have those things, and I think there's a long way to improve, but with the right governance and the right things happening, I think we can push it to mainstream media and it can grow a lot more.
Do you think the Olympics will really help the, eyeballs in terms of, Canadian viewership?
Definitely. I do believe the Olympics has a big part. Even if let's say we don't play the tournament, because the Olympics is about six teams or something. I'm not fully sure, but that's what I've heard. So for us to be in the six teams, it might be a little tough. But just the fact that it's an Olympic sport, we get way more benefits in Canada, because when you're an Olympic sport, there's an Olympic committee in Canada, which also then gives you funding. So it's just massive.
Oh, that's Yeah, amazing. So yeah, once that sort of comes into play, that's another big thing for and motivator, I guess, for players then too, and new players to really come on board, because it's LA and then it's in Oz in Brisbane the following Olympics. So you know that there's definitely going, it's going to be kept on board. We can't have an Olympics in Oz without having cricket. Come on.
Yeah, that's not possible.
Nah, absolutely not. Now, an idol of yours, you've always said, is Rahul Dravid. What a sensational player he was and is. Still a great guy. But what was it that you loved about him?
His grit and his determination when the team's in a tough position. I think I try to do that myself. Like, I try to take pride in the fact that when the team's in trouble, you try to play the innings that gets you out of trouble. I think that takes a lot of grit, and the amount of times he's done it, I've always looked up to him for that reason. That's why I think he's one of my favorite players from the past, and obviously recently it's been Virat Kohli.
Yeah, talk to me about the king. Why is it him that you love?
I mean, everybody loves the king. I mean, he works so hard.
He's not to love, hey.
Yeah, I mean, his performances speak for himself. He just works so hard. He's so dedicated to the game. A lot of things to look to him as a youngster when you're growing up and trying to play cricket. Virat Kohli might be the guy to look at. You know, the work, the hard work and the dedication that he puts in the game. If anybody can put that in their game, you know, he shows that you can make it to any level. And he always says it. So it's very relatable. You can relate to him and you just can learn a lot from him.
Absolutely. How emotional was it watching him, you know, lift the trophy in IPL this year?
Yeah, I mean, after 16 years, it was so cool. They got it. So it was just, I mean, he had emotions
were just
himself.
Ecstatic.
Yeah, it's too good.
Yeah. Is that a goal that you'd love to play an IPL?
Yeah, I think everyone would love to play the IPL. So that is one of my goals. A lot of people actually tell me, like, my family, friends, and relatives around, they'll always be like, oh, Harsh, we want to see you in the IPL one day. We want to see you. Why don't you try out for the IPL? I said, it doesn't work that way. There's no tryout.
Yeah.
I would love to play someday. And, you know, I said the World Cup is the opportunity, you know, where you can showcase your talent. And it's at a point where, you know, IPL scouts can look at you. So that would be the big, big opportunity.
For sure. Now, there's ODI, there's T20, there's T10. And obviously, you got to shift gears depending on what format that you're playing. Is it an easy thing to do? Obviously, when there's tournaments happening all the time, all around the world, is it hard when you've just come out of it playing T20 format to then go and play in a T10 format, like what we've seen in just the Canada Super 60? Do you really have to mentally? Is it a mental shift? Is it a physical shift? Or how do you manage and navigate playing different formats of the game?
I think it is a mental shift. Physically, obviously, T20s and T10s are fast-paced. You're always running around, but I think it's more about a mental thing. As a batsman, I always just try to, in a T20 and T10, it's like a mental switch that, you know, you just have to be aggressive. You have to attack the ball from basically ball one. And because we do it so often now, because even in local cricket, there's like, we play T20s on the weekdays and then we play like 50 overs on the weekends. So Saturday, Sunday would be 50 overs and then like basically Tuesday, Wednesday or Tuesday, Thursdays and Fridays would be T20 games. But we do it so often that players around the world are just so used to it now that it's become second nature. And if you honestly, you have to do it because there's so much cricket around.
Yeah.
So it is a mental switch. You take, maybe you practice a couple times in nets and you sort of just get in that zone.
Yeah.
When you're not doing well, it is a bit tougher sometimes.
We're going to step away for a short break, but we'll be returning soon, so stay right there for a special new segment. All right, we're going to head into a little bit more of fun. We're heading to the back half of the podcast. So there's a special segment for you, Harsh, called True North. So it's a bit of rapid fire, all things Canada, culture, personality, sport, you know, instincts, all the rest of it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. What is your Tim Hortons order?
Jalapeno bagel toasted with cream cheese with tomatoes.
Oh, yum.
And on the days that I feel like I want a drink, I will cheat and get a lemonade.
That would go down a treat, I reckon. The nice bubbles with your little food concoction. Oh, yum. That sounds so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Poutine. Am I saying that right?
Poutine, yeah.
Poutine. Elite or overrated?
Unfortunately, I'm vegetarian, so I don't really eat poutine that much, but it is elite. Canada's poutine is elite.
Okay.
I've heard that from a lot of places, yes.
All right. What is it? Because I've heard lots about it, but I can't seem to wrap my head around like what it actually is.
So they put fries, and on fries, there's a sauce they put. That's the poutine. And it's mixed with like vegetables, and the sauce I think has some meat in it.
So that's what it is.
And it's just fries are always good. So you have.
Oh yeah, how good is a really good fry? Oh, so yum, so good. Best Canadian city for sport?
I would say Toronto, because we have all the major sports. Like we have MLB. We have a Blue Jays, we have a baseball team, we have a basketball team, we have a football, football CFL, so that's everywhere. But we have a hockey team. So I would say Toronto.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Most Canadian thing about you?
Most Canadian thing about me? I love snow. I love the winter. It's a bit odd. People don't usually like the winter. But because I sometimes don't spend too much time in the winter here, I actually love the snow. And everybody in like my family or my friends actually hate me for saying that. They're like, you just enjoy a couple months or a month and then you leave, you go to your tropical weather. But I love the snow.
Yeah.
I love it when it's snowing. I love following the weather. I love knowing how much it snowed. It's like I'm a freak in that. Like, I love it.
Are you a skier?
Sorry?
Are you a skier or a snowboarder? Like, do you like... You can't with cricket, hey?
Yeah, like we're not allowed.
It's the one no-go in cricket. Ever. Like, any cricketer is like, nah, not touching the slopes.
Yeah, we're not even allowed. So I used to go tobogganing a lot when I was younger.
Okay.
And I used to do skiing when I was younger. I used to go a lot skiing and tobogganing. But obviously, since I started playing cricket, it's a dangerous sport. So
yeah, no good for the old knees.
Yeah.
Okay, this is perfect. Cold weather training. Love it or hate it?
Love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Over training in summer conditions.
Over training in summer conditions?
Yeah.
You mean cold weather training indoors or outdoors?
Let's go outdoors.
Oh, no.
Throw you in the elements.
No, that I would hate. We're just used to, when you say cold weather, we're just naturally thinking of indoor cricket. So,
fair,
no,
that's
no,
true.
No.
Yeah. Well, imagine a ball being smacked at you and you're in the outfield trying to take a catch. Your fingers would snap off.
It's terrible. We play in the wind, night game sometimes here, and it's terrible.
Oh. I mean, even in that Canada Super 60 tournament, it was freezing. And I obviously wasn't playing, but I was sitting in the, outskirts of the boundary waiting to go on camera and interview one of you boys, and I'm there shivering, freezing. I mean, I'm a sook when it comes to the cold. The minute the temperature drops slightly, I'm like, where is my thermal jacket?
You're definitely not a good place to play cricket when it's cold. It's
no
tough.
I bet. Hockey fight mid game, interject or let them sort it out?
Let them sort it out. I think they've gone a bit soft recently, actually.
Okay.
The hockey fights have, the referees come in quite early now. It's not as brutal as it used to be before. Mm. NHL, I think, has taken a step.
It used to be hectic. Like, they'd go at each other. Imagine if they let that happen on the cricket field.
I mean, you call it a gentleman's game, so you can't really have them
Exactly.
fighting.
Exactly. The best Canadian athlete ever. Who's your GOAT in terms of Canadian sports, men or women?
Canadian athlete ever. Wayne Gretzky?
Okay. Why?
Wayne Gretzky would be up there. He's a hockey player. I don't
Yeah.
know if you know about him.
Why?
I mean, he's just done so much for the game. He means a lot to Canadians. Wayne Gretzky is a legend. And everywhere in Canada, like if you talk about Wayne Gretzky, everybody knows him. He's
Yeah.
done so much for the game. And obviously Canada loves hockey, ice hockey. And so we love him.
We're going to take one more quick break, but we'll be right back to wrap up the show. All right, it's time for the final whistle. These are the last rapid fire questions I'm going to shoot at you, and then we'll be done. You'll be off the hook. All right, best piece of advice you've ever got from a coach?
Back your skills, trust your instincts.
All right, which teammate or former teammate would you want on your trivia team?
Someone smart. Shreyas Mova. He's educated well.
Okay. Cricketing superpower you wish you had.
I wish I could hit sixes with one hand. Just have so much strength that I could just do it.
What about like grippy hands? Like,
You know what I actually love? I always thought of doing. I had a dream of like me being able to jump really high. So if someone hits a six,
true,
I
and
can
you're on the
just jump
boundary, you're
really high.
just ultimate leap.
Yeah, that is actually, to be honest, I
That
changed it.
would
I want ball.
be You'd be on
Yeah,
every team in the world.
every team, because I would just stop every six.
Exactly. No matter how high it was, if it's going up in the grandstand, oh, Harsh is
They
up,
caught it,
eh?
and I'll be inside the boundary, so it's still out.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's actually a really good one. Well, I reckon that should be it. Not one-handed sixes. I think it should be
Yeah.
ultimate jumps.
Yeah, the jumps.
Favorite stadium you've ever played?
Dubai, UAE.
Ah, Dubai International Stadium.
Yeah, made 200s there, that's why.
Yeah, okay, fair. But it is a nice stadium too.
That was fantastic. It's such a vibe being there. It was like very nice stadium, man.
Yeah, all of the stadiums here are amazing. Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah. Like Sharjah is a little bit older, but like it's got its character, which is cool.
Yeah, definitely. And history, a lot of games there.
Yeah, exactly. So much history. I love when you walk into a stadium and you just know that there's been some epic battles that have gone on. You can just feel
Definitely.
it.
For sure.
Okay, what's one cricket moment you wish you could relive?
The time when we got ODI status after the game, like when we won that game, it was a very cool feeling. And the feeling that we had was it was a work of 2 years that we worked hard for, and then we got the reward because Pooba was there with us that time. And that feeling was very satisfying because it means a lot to us. It's a big thing for the country.
Oh, absolutely. What an achievement. And working 2 years to finally reach it would have. Did you party after? Big
Well, we definitely did.
celebrations?
Massive celebration. Even at the
Good.
ground, we started. We had a beer at the ground with the whole
Yeah.
team. You know, Pooba was our coach that time, and people got emotional after the game, and it just
Oh.
meant a lot for us to be the guys that brought ODI cricket back to Canada was massive.
Yeah. Who's your dream batting partner? It can be from any era, but who's your dream?
Virat Kohli.
Why?
I was just such a fan of him. Basically, Rahul Dravid was one of the guys when I was really young, but then Kohli obviously came when I was 12 or 13. I was basically Kohli 11. So just growing up watching him, you know, getting inspired by him. So just if he's at the other end and I'm batting with him, that's a dream.
Yeah, for sure. It'd be cool. Would you pick his brain or would you be too
Oh, definitely.
nervous?
I just, there's so much to ask him. Just like, how do you get through situations and all that? Like,
You'd be
there's
getting
just
your
so
like
much to.
notepad out being like, hey Coley, what am I doing now?
Yeah, 100%. You'd probably get bored. You're like, yeah, we're not talking about
You'd be like, hey, shh.
this.
Oh, so good. What's the weirdest superstition you've ever seen in a cricketer?
I've seen people do things. I mean, nothing is weird in cricket, honestly, because I understand everybody has their own stuff. But I've seen guys take, like, if they're taking five throwdowns, they take exactly five throwdowns. You cannot do more. And then,
Really?
yeah, like, they will only take five. If there's a number. I'm not saying it's five, but there's a
Yeah,
number,
but
and
like
they do not go over
they
that.
cannot go over or under. Wow.
No, it has to be that
Interesting.
many, and that's how they feel good.
Yeah.
I have a sock that I wear as, like, for my jock, I wear a sock, and
Yeah.
that's like my lucky sock.
Do you wash it? Please tell me you wash it.
Yes, I do wash it. I have
Oh,
two, actually.
thank
I keep
God.
two. Yeah,
So good. Is it from the pair? The other one? The second one? It's oh yeah. I heard a crazy story the other day about superstitions. This guy, I'm not going to name him. He went out one day and all the boys taped all his cricket bats that he'd had in his kit all up on the wall. Anyway, ended up scoring 100. So then he was convinced that he had to tape his bats up every time in order to do well. But guess what happened the next game? Out
duck.
for a duck.
That's
So that superstition went out the
usually
window really quickly.
what happens. As I
So
said,
good.
cricketers have the superstitions. We just have it. When
You
you
just
score runs,
do.
you try to follow it.
Yeah, exactly. What's your most used emoji?
Laughing emoji, pretty normal.
Yeah, that is normal. That's mine too. Mine is
Yeah.
this and the laughing
The heart.
crying emoji.
Yeah, that one.
Have you got any hidden talents that we don't know about?
I wanted to be a meteorologist when I was younger. Meteorologist is
Really?
the guy that predicts weather, yeah. And I was
No
fully
way.
into it. I had a whole weather set in my house, and I used to follow the wind and the precipitation that's about to fall, and
And the snow.
I used to be fully involved. And I still am, as I said, when there's a snowstorm or there's a storm around, even in the team, when we go on tour, if there's rain around, I'm the guy people will ask, are we having a game or not? So, I love
You
it.
know, you've got
Yeah.
all the technology, all the knowledge.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, wow. Maybe you can just add weather god to to the skill
I
set.
usually get it right too. My predictions are usually correct.
Wow. Okay. Are you able to change the weather, like sometimes when you're feeling like playing? Give
I wish I could have done that.
the
I wish I could have done that. You
Really
know,
cool
there's
though.
I've seen when we went to UAE, they actually had artificial rain. Like,
Yeah.
it's
Like
so
even
cool.
the other
We
day,
played a
I
game,
yeah. Keep
and
going.
that 100 game, when I made 100, the rain came. And we're like, I think they called their heads and they said, bring the rain. We're losing
Bring it
this
in.
game.
Bring it in, boys. So good. Yeah, it's wild how they can do that here, hey.
Yeah.
But then some people deny that it's a thing.
No, it's definitely, I read about it. It's not that
Yeah.
they actually bring the rain, but what they do is they create enough precipitation in the air to
Yeah.
create rain clouds, and then those rain clouds come in and it rains. It's not that I know it is, like, there is some truth to it. It's definitely
Yeah,
true.
for sure. All right, last question, and then we're done. Do you believe in luck?
100%. I think luck plays a big factor in everything you do.
Do you think you're lucky?
Do I think I'm lucky? Yeah, I think just the fact that I'm playing at this level, I think I'm lucky to be doing that. So yes, I think I'm lucky.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Harsh. Really appreciate the chat today. It's been so nice to get to know you a little bit more. And good luck for the World Cup. You're going to absolutely smash it, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking your time today.
Well, that's all for this episode of Game On with Grace. If you love the conversation, make sure you hit the follow button, subscribe, and tell all your friends about the podcast. There's so many more amazing episodes to come. Great guests, hilarious debates, and big stories coming your way. So stay tuned. I'm Grace Hayden. Until next time, keep competitive.